All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Here we are on a finally Friday. Let's thank our community-minded partners right off the bat. We've got Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Probyte Computers, Gym City Junction, Frankfort, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Wampler Services Incorporated, The Oasis, Frankfort, and Heather's Flowers in Frankfort. I'm Kevin Keith, and I'm so happy to have Bill Gant along with me once again. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning. It's finally Friday. You mentioned one of your sponsors, The Oasis.
Yeah.
That's tough to hear this early in the morning, man, because he's not open with the hot dogs.
I know. 11 o'clock.
Brutal.
Though. 11 o'clock.
Brutal.
Just a couple hours. And it's well worth the wait, you know.
Heck yeah. Dan gets it done.
He does. He told me when he first started sponsoring here at KNS, he said that he knew you and he used to listen to you on Saturday nights at the station across town where the coffee still sucks.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's been a big fan, man. He's loving him some KNS.
He's on the right track.
Absolutely.
Good food, good music.
Yeah, man. And he likes the old style equipment too. He likes to play pull out the albums.
I like that. And, analog,
yeah,
very nice.
Very, very analog, yes.
Yeah.
And man, some good food. And he's got a couple other things he's working on we can't quite talk about yet, but be listening for some big things coming at the Oasis, some more additional things.
Oh, so interesting things eventually you can talk about.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he's not burying bodies out there.
Not anymore.
Good. They got past that.
Yeah,
lime is expensive these days. It's crazy.
Yes, absolutely. and we've got a few new sponsors since you were last with us.
Sounds like it.
We've got Alan Marchand with Marchand's Window Tinting.
Keep it dark, baby.
Uh-huh. And Wampler Services Incorporated. Appreciate Trina and her crew coming on board.
You call, they haul.
Yeah. And I call, and people say yes when I ask them for advertising dollars. So I love how this works, Bill.
It's pretty nice. Keeping it local, baby.
Yes. And gosh, speaking of keeping it local, I've officially got, I've been working on this for a couple months really hard. I love to give things away. And it's really good to have good things to give away, not just, you know, crap. And so I've been working on this, and this is kind of a perpetuity. That's a big word for us there.
That is a big word.
So what I'm trying to do is get even more, because I would love to have like one giveaway every single day on KNS. And I know that's a lot to ask, but give me time. I'm getting there. But what we do right now, Bill, is every other week we have the KNS Week of Winning, I call it. And next week will be our week of winning. So it's basically every other week we have 3 days of giveaways. On Monday, every other Monday, including this Monday, it's your chance to win a $25 gift certificate from Gym City Junction on the downtown square. And they are celebrating 5 years in business. Kim and her husband, the Prathers. And I was talking to her earlier this week, and she said, you know, I asked her, I said, what's the biggest thing you learned about opening your own business? And she said, don't try to do it during a pandemic. And so I think that's good advice. But they opened 5 years ago this week, man. And, of course, Gym City is now just part of the Southeast downtown Frankfort Square.
Getting to be quite the establishment.
Yeah, man. And they got coffees and paninis and soups just in time for fall. So the $25 certificate would certainly go quite a ways for you. So
that's great. And, you know, if you can make it as a business like that, like through the pandemic, I mean, I'm sure you can make it through, you know, crushing inflation.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're doing a good job.
Bidenomics. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Just hang in there, baby.
Yeah. And then Wednesday, every other Wednesday, we give away a dozen deluxe donuts from Granny's Goodies in Mulberry. And what is a deluxe donut, you ask? Well,
yeah,
it is not just a regular glazed donut or just a chocolate covered donut. Granny has these special things, special equipment and little pieces of just special equipment she was telling me about that will shoot all kinds of deliciousness inside the donut.
Oh man.
So you can imagine some big automation system out there. This great big
tuning
thing.
Tuning the goodness into the donut.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then
family show. I say, I was going to tell you really quick. I once watched a movie called Granny's Goodies, but it wasn't about donuts.
It wasn't. Okay.
No. I hope I haven't made that joke before either.
No, that's good. And then after she puts all the special deliciousness on the inside.
Yes.
You get the deliciousness on the outside. So she sprinkles, and again, I can't quit thinking of a porno movie now. Thank you, Bill. She sprinkles deliciousness on the outside.
Oh, wow.
And whether it could be sprinkles, it could be something caramel, it could be something chocolate. You know,
yeah, sprinkling. I don't watch those videos, dude.
anymore. So every other Wednesday, we give away a dozen deluxe donuts that I will never look at again the same.
Well, in all seriousness, though, the way you're describing it, really, really, they sound fan-freaking-tastic, man. Like, this is one of a kind stuff. I've never heard somebody stuffing special stuff in the donut and rolling them in style.
Yeah, man.
This sounds great.
These are a little bigger than regular donuts, and so you get that as well. And like a dozen, I'm not going to lie, this is like a $36 value.
Nice.
So, yeah, man. So we do that every other Wednesday, including next Wednesday. And then we wrap it up with Free Pizza Friday with Frankfort Pizza Hut and KNS Radio. And what you do there is same way, we get you registered online on Facebook. And then sometime after 5 o'clock, I draw a winner at random. And the winner gets a choice of a free large pizza or 16 boneless wings. And we do it the old-fashioned way. We snail mail a certificate to them. I do that right here from the comfort of my own apartment, and we make happy winners, Bill.
Very good. I mean, I definitely like that Pizza Hut one, because that way, and a lot of people maybe grew up with it, at least they could listen and then every other Friday win a pizza instead of reading a book.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because it's so crazy you mention that, because I've got pulled up here on my notepad. I was gonna talk to you about this, and I'm trying to get to it right now.
Yeah.
It was like 2 or 3 days ago. I saw on this little email I get that helps me with interesting stuff for the morning show.
Yeah.
As we call it in the biz, show prep. And
yes.
Pizza Hut is giving away 1 million free personal pan pizzas for the 40th anniversary of its Book It program.
All right.
So just as you bring that up, man, how cool was that to read like 500 books over the summer and get one pizza, man, at the end of the summer?
Well, now, when I did it, you had to read like a book for every, I think, like 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So you said there's like a paper where, and they'd give you like a star. So you didn't have to read like a whole bunch, but you just had to read at least one.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I guess this is not visual, but yeah, definitely. I'm the size of person that likes pizza. And I'm still having trouble thinking about those slightly larger donuts, the BBDs, big, beautiful donuts. Right? So. But now, did you do Book It? Was that
I did,
when you
first
pulled together stuff? All right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I did a part of on the news and commentary earlier this week. I was talking about how I still have books in my bedroom, and I've got a couple shelves of books, and I'm usually reading a book or two, and that was kind of a New Year's resolution for me I've been able to stick to. So I've read like 7 books this year, and I love to read, and I used to love to read when I was a kid back doing the free personal pan pizzas on the Book It program.
Yeah, reading is good. Really, yeah. Reading is good. I used to read more when I was a teacher, and I had like summers off. I'd read the whole summer.
Right, Right.
Yeah. So what, just real quick, I mean, I know we got other stuff to do, but what's one of the books that you read that you enjoy the most?
This year?
Yeah.
You know, there's two that I really enjoyed so far. And one of them I just finished. It's called For the Sins of My Father. And it is a true story by Al DiMeo, whose father was in the crime family from the 70s and 80s that Paul Castellano was the godfather of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Al DiMeo was a hitman, basically, for the Castellano family. And this book was written by his son, and how he grew up in this back in just like the 70s and 80s, kind of like when you and I were growing up. And that's what I liked about it so much, is it was things that I was able to relate to growing up, because this wasn't like the gangsters of the 1930s, you know.
No.
This is like the John Gotti time frame.
Yeah, there you go. Know?
And the way it was well written, and I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, I learned a few things about, I've always loved the organized crime and reading about that. I think everybody has a little something cool about the Sopranos or something, you know.
Yeah.
But it was really neat because I learned a few things about how he lost his dad. You know, it wasn't that his dad was necessarily murdered or anything like that, but he just kind of disappeared. And Al DiMeo was like one of the biggest guys around with the Castellano crime family. So, wow. Yeah. And of course, Paul Castellano was gunned down with his driver by Gotti, some people who worked for Gotti. And then Gotti became Teflon Don and died in prison a couple years ago because the Teflon finally wore off. But that was a good book. It was well written, and it talked about how he, as a boy, went with his dad on collections, you know.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, and hung out in the bars, and he never let you know, get too close. He always protected him, but he was kind of the second man of the house. So that was good.
You always got like a dad, you know, around the house, and if they're into, you know, maybe like football or something, you got your little toddler, and you got a little shirt, you know, daddy's a little football star.
Right.
I mean, this guy wear like, you know, daddy's little hitman.
Yeah. Give him a little squirt gun for Christmas or something.
Yeah.
Practice.
Now, I bet nobody messed that kid on the playground.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what he talked about too. You know, by the time he was in like sixth or seventh grade, he said he was pretty quiet kid, but, and it's always the quiet ones, right?
Yes.
He said that, you know, people like knew who he was and what his family did. So nobody bothered him, you know.
Probably not. Probably got a lot of A's. A
lot of A's in class, too, yeah.
Delight to have in class.
An excitable boy.
Yes, he's excitable, but real delight. Everything's great. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's ever wrong. Thank you, sir.
Straight A's across the board. That's right.
Absolutely. No problems here.
And then I read a couple months ago, I bought this at Dollar General for $3. I'd never really do that. I never look for a book at Dollar General, but it was called Lincoln Alive.
Okay.
And this was another true story of something that, you know me, you know I'm a history buff, right?
Yeah.
And I love reading about history and learning about it, and I just really dig that and eat that up. And I've read just about every book on Lincoln. I've probably got 20 of them myself. So I know a lot and I've learned a lot, but I learned something from this. There was a plot after Lincoln was elected. Of course, you have a few months before the inauguration.
Yeah.
And he was based out of Illinois. So he had to take a train ride from Illinois to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. And he's just this backwoods lawyer. And I think he'd been a senator for maybe a term or two. But there was a plot to basically kill him because he ran on abolishing slavery, of course.
Yeah.
And the southern states didn't like that.
No.
And one of the states that was a southern sympathizer at the time was Maryland, which is right next door to Washington, D.C. there.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And believe it or not, let's see, what was his name? I forget his first name, but Allen Pinkerton, of the Pinkerton Detective Agency.
Wow. Yeah.
He actually got involved in this and figured out a way to safely get, because there was two plots to kill Lincoln before he even got to the inauguration. And this is something you just never learned about in the history books. Of course, he was killed a couple years later by John Wilkes Booth.
But, well, back then, you know, you couldn't trust the mainstream media, dude.
Good point. Good point. Boy, it's amazing how some things never change, isn't it? But there was a plot, man, to kill him, two of them in Maryland. And Pinkerton figured out a way to get him safely to Washington, D.C. for his inauguration. And Lincoln Alive is the name of the book, and it was good. So thank you for asking. I enjoy reliving those.
Well, it's a great find, like at Dollar General. You know, usually it's just like cheap Doritos or whatever. But
it was, man. It's usually cheap Doritos or some cheap ass Harlequin romance. You know,
that's right. That's what I was expecting. I had no idea it was going to come out of Dollar General.
Especially with our Granny's Goodies conversation we just had.
Hallelujah! I'm still thinking about that. You know?
You've got the KNS Radio Network right here, Kevin Keith and Bill Gant, on a finally Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we talked about Pizza Hut giving away a million free personal pan pizzas for the 40th anniversary of its Book It program. I just wanted to say that, you know, you go, there's a Pizza Hut in just about every community, right?
Pretty much.
And not all of them are good, but I know Jill Hine, who is the general manager of the one here, and I get a Pizza Hut pizza from Pizza Hut of Frankfurt about twice a month with a friend of mine, Nancy Reno. She and I watch Colts on Sunday and eat pizza together. And every single time, man, it's a perfect pizza. I mean, it's just, it's kind of like the Oasis. You know, the cheese is going to be melted the way, just perfect. You know, the fries are going to be delicious. You know, everything's going to be right. And to where sometimes you go to McDonald's and it's like, you got a 50-50 chance, man, if you get a bun, you know.
True.
And so it's just one of those things that you can count on it. It's money in the bank that whatever you order from Frankfurt Pizza Hut, it's going to be good and it's going to be right. And we don't always have that in Pizza Huts across the nation. So that's my little two cents there.
You're very true. I mean, you know, just because it's a chain restaurant doesn't mean it's always going to be the right way.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad she is running it the right way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she's looking for a couple managers right now. So give her a little plug there if you want to go down and talk to her. Her name is Jill Hine, and she's a really nice lady.
Cool.
Last time you were on with me, Bill, a couple weeks ago, and I told the listeners over the past couple of weeks, I take full responsibility for you not being able to be on the air. I was working late last week, and the week before that, I think we had something rescheduled. We were going to try to do it and maybe record something instead of being on a Friday morning, but it was, again, something on my end. But it's good to have you back.
Glad to be back. Yes, no problem.
And we were talking about what we're going to talk about, because you and I had so much fun at the station across town where the coffee still sucks, and we talked about a wide variety of things. And I think if we do that, we'll still have fun here. And we talked at the end of the program last time we were together about whether or not we should talk a whole lot of politics, because some people just don't care. And I think people, at least the listeners that I've talked to, the audience that I have here on KNS, I think they do care. And I think a lot of them probably lean pretty conservative.
Okay.
But I wanted to just ask you if you had a chance to watch the, and if the answer is no, that's okay. Did you watch the vice presidential debate Tuesday night?
I did not.
Okay. J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, they always, and I did a whole show on this about a half hour yesterday, Bill. So if you want, you can go back to knsradionetwork.com/interviews and listen to what I had to say about that.
Oh, really?
And I always tell the truth. If Walz would have mopped the floor with Vance, I would have been the first one to say that.
Yeah.
But I knew that probably wasn't going to be the case because Vance is he's a good debater. And he's been asked all these tough questions a million times by the lamestream media. So he was pretty much prepared and ready for it. And Tim Walz was as ready as he could be. But it was, you know, we talk about the winners and the losers in a debate. And J.D. Vance, the clear winner Tuesday night.
Yeah, I saw some of the people talking about it.
And yeah,
how they said it was pretty one-sided, and really Vance kind of came across as like a normal everyday person because they kind of painted him as, I don't know, they got, yeah, once one person says it, then they all say it like they said he was weird or whatever.
Right, right. It was a chance for him to reintroduce himself, sort of.
And then Walz had some struggles and looked kind of funky up there. But a lot of people said that. That's your own fault because you don't ever get any, you don't sit down for real interviews, you don't take like press questions, right. So you don't like sharpen iron with iron, so you get kind of not good at it.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the case. He did a little better in some aspects than I thought he might, but you could tell that was the case, man, is that he just hadn't had questions thrown to him, and he would start to talk fast and start talking ahead of himself and then kind of lose where he was talking a little bit and then go back to try to cover it with some policy and stuff. And so it was a little awkward at times. He also said, they were talking about a little bit about gun control, and he also made a slip. He said Vance had asked him how he knew something about Sandy Hook parents and a school shooting. And he said, well, I've become friends with school shooters.
I saw that.
And yeah, nobody corrected him or anything. Of course, that was a slip of the tongue. He didn't become friends with him, but
just makes for a fun soundbite. That's all.
Yes, exactly. Walz, though, is a self-proclaimed socialist. I think Vance could have really talked him into a corner if he wanted to. I felt like Vance was taking it easy on him a little bit.
That's what a lot of people said. They kind of felt like they're kind of like agreeing with each other. And,
yeah.
But you know what? I mean, the little bits that I did see, and then when people were talking about that, I don't know. People can like make, you know, you don't need to. People get it, and so I kind of liked that it was more like low key. And there wasn't like a bunch of problems, and it felt more like 1988 or something.
Me too, man. I'm glad it wasn't just like this real nasty, crazy. They actually talked about shit, you know? Yeah. And I like that. I like that. That was kind of cool.
I do know the part I did see too with, and this is like my advice, and I get like what I do and the stuff I'm doing on my show and things. Mm-hmm. I don't do really politics, but like, I'd love to make a video and just say, attention, people who are moderators, no one cares who you are. No one cares about your brand. And would you just shut up and let people talk? Stop muting people. Stop telling me what they're lying about right there. Yeah. I have the internet too. So can you people just, we don't even need it. I just need an AI generated question. I don't need people there. Like, I'm tired of these people. Like, it's like a referee, like, getting famous for blowing a call or whatever. Like, we're not here to watch you. We're here to watch the game, man.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, and a good moderator is if nobody is talking about you the next day.
Exactly.
You know?
But both these times, the first time, David Muir or whatever, that dork, and then, yep, and then Rosie, not Rosie O'Donnell, but somebody, whatever, those two, again, kind of just like getting in the way and doing dumb stuff and muting mics, like, just get out of the way. We can like make we're not babies. We can make up our own mind.
Well, I said in yesterday's news and commentary, when you talk about debates, you have winners and losers. And I think the moderators were the losers Tuesday.
Definitely.
<night.
laughs> Like, we see moderators. Or, somebody said this would be the best idea would be, and that they would probably, I mean, I think one camp might not sign up for it. The other camp wouldn't give a damn, but just like have a town hall of people and I have no idea what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just random people asking whatever the hell they want to say. And then you answer it like that. I don't even need pro moderators.
Just have one guy carrying around a mic, right?
Hey, Donnie, just walk up that to dude. Yeah. Just get him. Kevin, now what's your question?
I like it. And you are so right. That would be so much more effective and real.
That's what people want.
Than all the canned stuff. You know, you brought up a good point a couple weeks ago, too, and I think it's pretty obvious that I don't think this moved the needle a whole lot. It may have helped some women who weren't sure because they've heard weird things about J.D. Vance, but and he certainly didn't hurt Trump, but you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was a good point, and I'll bring it up again, is people have pretty much made up their mind.
Yeah, man, come on.
I mean, if you can find me 10 undecideds in any county in the entire United States, yeah, I would be surprised. You know,
that's what I'm saying. You know what you're gonna vote for. You break. You knew it like 4 years ago. Whatever. It's,
yeah.
Really, that's why. I'm just so happy that in a few more weeks, like done.
It's done. Yeah, it'll be here in like a month, man. Almost to the day. Yeah. So November 5th, and I'll take this time for a shameless plug. Already earlier this week and late last week, I spoke with a couple school board members who are running for school board at Rossville. And I air those, and then I post those, which are posted right now at knsradionetwork.com/interviews. And I will continue to do that through November 5th. Bill, there's a lot of uncontested positions, such as, like, we've got a couple commissioners who are not being contested, but there's several people running in all four schools in the county for school board, and Rossville and Frankfort particularly have had a lot of brouhaha the last year, and so I have a feeling that we may see some upsets. I may see some changing of the guard. And I'm going to continue to interview these people. Next week, I've got a couple more from Rossville, including the Rossville president of the school board, Mr. Hufford. And also an incumbent there, Julia Mink. So I'll be talking to them next week. And then I told the listeners, I'm going to reach out to everybody, whether they're contested or not, and we'll see who comes on.
yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of weird, man. People say yes to advertising, but they're afraid to come on and talk to me. It's a little weird.
They never know what question you're going to be asking or if you'll be talking about Big Beautiful Donuts.
Big Beautiful Donuts, the BBDs, that's right.
Yeah, I can talk that. I'm not running for anything, man. It don't matter.
Well, I wanted to take it one step just a little closer to home from the political standpoint. And last night, we had the Indiana gubernatorial debate.
Aha, yes.
And I am sad to say that I didn't get a chance to watch it. I watched like 20 minutes of highlights today, but it was on Fox 59 and CBS 4, and they hosted it. This is two of Indiana's three gubernatorial candidates. Spent about an hour last Wednesday night trading barbs and promoting their campaign platforms. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this, Bill, because, again, earlier this week, I did about a half-hour piece on property taxes and where each of these gubernatorial candidates come down at, because nothing's more talked about right now than property taxes.
Okay.
And so I did a half-hour. Again, you can find that at knsradionetwork.com/interviews. And I went over all three candidates and what they proposed to do to help with property taxes. We won't get into that today because we've already touched on that. But we've got Republican Mike Braun and Democrat, former Republican, Jennifer McCormick, who met the polling threshold by the networks for the gubernatorial debate. Now, right now, every 4 years, Bill, there is a Libertarian candidate for governor. Okay.
Rainwater.
Donald Rainwater is the one this year.
Yeah.
And Donald Rainwater is probably the strongest Libertarian candidate that I would say Indiana has ever had.
Nice.
Ever. I fully look for Donald Rainwater to probably pull, I'm going to say like 7 to 12% of the vote from the Republican side of the ticket, Mike Braun.
Okay.
And that'll make this race a little closer. I'm still going to predict that Braun will beat McCormick probably by 4 or 5 points, but Donald Rainwater is really, really making a big splash, no pun intended. And they didn't let him on the damn stage Wednesday night because he didn't meet the quote-unquote threshold, which I don't know what it is. I didn't have time to look it up before we came on the air this morning, but it's something about either dollar amount of campaign funds, so many names that would be signed on some kind of petition, and some other bullshit. And it just, it's almost like they were afraid to have him up there because he's got some really great ideas.
Didn't you, didn't you work for him several years back, like on a campaign?
I worked for a libertarian candidate.
Oh, gotcha.
His name was Ken Givenan, and he ran for governor at the time. Ken was a strong candidate too, but the Libertarian Party didn't really have the exposure at the time that they have now. It's a little more mainstream, but Ken was a good candidate, very conservative, but like most libertarians, they'll leave you alone. You know, they just let you live your life.
Yeah. I guess I don't have really any party affiliation technically. I don't just like straight ticket things. When it comes to libertarians, I kind of like their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out. I mean, like, so now you said he's going to get maybe 7 to 12. I bet, yeah. 12 years ago, that was probably 2 to 3.
Absolutely.
So I think that maybe this libertarian idea, after we get done with all the, the back and forth, Republican Democrat stuff, maybe these kind of people will rub off on both of these parties a little bit.
You know, that would be good. That would be good. If you could take any form of the libertarian core beliefs and move them over, because let's face it, libertarians sort of come down on the side more of a conservative.
Yeah, less government.
Right, right.
More freedom.
So he couldn't be on the debate stage Wednesday night, but I wanted to go through and just hit a few highlights here, Bill.
Yeah.
So some of the topics that were included was a recently manipulated advertisement from the Braun campaign and the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. His name, who was that? Was that the mayor with her?
It was donuts, man. I think people heard me out here talking about him, and man, the neighborhood is freaking out.
I thought it was the mayor on her motorcycle. She was out of
town. Thankfully, she finally gave it a rest, and now Mo's after 10.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
It's a lot better.
Got to keep an eye on her, man.
I do.
So the Braun campaign had manipulated an advertisement, so they kind of beat each other up on that a little bit. It was kind of a joke, almost a joke. I mean, he did it on purpose for the manipulated advertisement, but it's Braun is going to win this pretty much. He needs to just beat her over the head with the topics. She's a big time liberal. It's a real easy win. Don't get fancy, know. So the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor is a Christian nationalist, a self-described Christian nationalist. And his name is Micah Beckwith.
Okay.
And he is not as crazy as his title sounds, but he is he is Braun's lieutenant governor candidate. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what really sparked the big shitstorm last night. Beckwith said that Jennifer McCormick invoked a quote-unquote Jezebel spirit. And
He didn't sound as crazy as you said at the beginning at all. A Jezebel spirit?
Yeah, man.
Man, oh my.
So she obviously got pissed right away, right?
Yeah. He just called her a hoe, man. Yeah, I mean, really.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, see, I've got the definition here. I'm going to read it in a moment.
Yes.
So Micah Beckwith prompted the harshest back and forth between the nominees, of course, with McCormick repeatedly, man, calling for an apology from the campaign. If I would have had a little more time before we went on the air, I was going to try to pull up like some video and get a little sound, but maybe that'll be worth playing next week, because I have a feeling the clips I saw was like, man, she was madder than hell. I mean,
This reminds me of a little bit, like, at least on the Republican side, this is like a Sopranos episode. You watch Sopranos, like when Christopher's always like dicking off and saying shit, and he tells him not to talk at meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, dude, you're my lieutenant governor. Just sit there, smile, wave the flag, and just back me up, bro. I told you not to say anything. And what do? You sat right down and started with Jezebel and people. Like, what are you doing?
You're going to get a shot, man, like no the kid. Sopranos. Yeah, good analogy there, Bill.
Yeah.
And I loved Christopher's character in The Sopranos.
He was a good kid. And but sometimes he's a little hot-headed. You know, he's
a little
like
hot-headed,
Sonny.
Yeah.
He's like Sonny in The Godfather. You know?
Yeah, man.
You got to sit back and do things the right way.
So back to the gubernatorial debate. So she said he's ridiculous. Wow. He's dangerous. Braun fired back, and Braun actually kind of defended his lieutenant governor, which I expected a little bit, but not like this much. He said, when you're focusing on a lieutenant governor, that means you're shaky on what your own plans are going to be. In this state, a governor is going to call the shots. When you focus on that, that means you're afraid and you don't have enough to offer Hoosiers and address kitchen table issues. And that just made her more pissed off.
Oh, I bet.
So she was mad. I looked up the definition of Jezebel, Bill, and it is an immoral woman who deceives people in order to get what she wants. And that's a nice description.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
If you want to really know what a Jezebel is in this day and age and the reference to it, pick up the Bible, because it's even worse than an immoral woman who deceives people in order to get what she wants.
Oh, my.
Yeah. McCormick, of course, said she's not afraid to lead. She's still mad, man.
Sure.
So Braun kept tying her to Democratic policies, which is good. I mean, that's what you want to do if you're the opposite party. But a lot of these national issues really don't, you know, the governor can't do anything about illegal immigration or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he was just kind of trying to tie her to some of that, you know.
Well, that's a good idea. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. And at least he's still trying to, like, again, like, talk on topic, because, man, I'm so tired of, like, the knick-knacky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole Jezebel thing and getting all fired up, you know, I mean, like, okay, like, let it go. And also that one's got to learn, like, you know, again, you need a better debate coach or whatever. You cannot get like rattled and stuff.
That's right. You gotta have a thick skin here.
And if you're smart, instead of like fighting and acting, you know, getting all, you should have, like, you're taking like the opposite thing.
Used,
you know,
it.
Like, hey, it's really, yeah, I'll just be honest with you. My comment, like, really hurts me. I know Jezebel is pretty much like a prostitute or whatever, and that's kind of what you called me, but I'll just kind of keep moving on. I'll just let you know that did kind of rattle me. I'm unfortunately, you speak like that, but so I want to talk about this policy. And then it would have been like, wow, she handled that really good. He looks like a dick.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, take the high ground.
Can't let it get to you, man.
Take the high ground, absolutely.
Yeah.
So she used to be a Republican. And she pointed to low quality of life metrics and education outcomes in Indiana under the last two decades of Republican control, and of course called for a change of leadership. They then got into abortion, which has been kicked back to the states, so to speak, after the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And Mike Braun said, we're a right to life state, throwing his support behind the state's near total abortion ban. Striking that ban has been a key part of McCormick's campaign. And she claimed women have already died due to that ban. And she said she would absolutely support an effort for ballot questions on abortion. So she also went on to say, I'm the only person on stage who's been pregnant. So that was nice of her to point that out.
Jezebel, whatever. Humble brag, Jezebel.
She's an educator in the past. She was a superintendent of public instruction for the state of Indiana. So she loves her teachers, man. And she said that we should increase teacher salaries to $60,000 minimum per year. And I think that's good in theory, but so is communism.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know, I don't, yeah, I don't know even what to say.
Like any other job, they should be paid on based on how good they are. And maybe a little seniority.
Possibly. I mean, that'd be good, but. I mean, and that's kind of what they do now. I mean, they usually get like a pay raise like every year, and they renegotiate contracts and things. I used to be like on one of those teams when I was a teacher. So I get it. I understand it. But I don't know. He says she was superintendent of public instruction.
Correct. For the state. Yeah.
And then she was a Republican and was a what was she when she was Republican? Was she like a state senator?
You know, I think she was. Not that. I think she had moved out of teaching and the administrative part of teaching straight to the superintendent of public instruction, if I'm not mistaken.
And then, but then after that, you said she used to be, she was a Republican as she was doing that, you're saying?
Like, yes.
She never was like in office as a Republican for something.
Correct. To my knowledge, yes.
Okay. Because I mean, you know, being in government and then being like the superintendent of like public instruction or those. I mean, this person loves bureaucracy. That's for damn sure. Like,
right. Right.
I
think she was a Republican when she was the superintendent of public instruction. Just recently, I think in the last couple of years, she switched over. So, but that's a here nor a there. She said when she was in office, Indiana was ranked 35th in the nation in teaching, I guess, not educator peers being paid. And since she left, we've fallen to 41st, she said, based on whatever criteria she was using there.
Okay.
Braun repeated his call to expand school choice, which I think a lot of people are in favor of. He said salary increases should be paid by identifying ways to run classrooms more efficiently and not putting money into buildings and operations all the time. So kind of, yeah, I kind of like that. Now I want to talk drugs.
Okay.
Because, that is not the next donut that's coming from Granny's Goodies. Although she's very cool.
Okay.
And if we ever got marijuana legalized in Indiana,
Those donuts would be pump full.
Yes. You would have you a nice pumpy little Delta 8 dozen deluxe Granny's donut.
Now it's starting to sound a little more like that movie I saw.
So you and I have talked about this before, Bill, on and off the air.
Yeah.
About how marijuana, you know, it's been legalized recreationally across many states. Some states still have it for medicinal. Mm-hmm. And it's I think it's going to happen in Indiana, maybe not this year, but within the next 4 or 5 years, I think, because it's just becoming more mainstream. And McCormick repeated her call for Indiana to start its own marijuana legalization process. She said first medicinally, then followed by recreationally. Braun said he was open to legalizing the drug for medical purposes. And he said, though, that he has law enforcement concerns that weigh heavily on that. So I would say so.
Well, I think, let's see, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois. I'm not sure about Kentucky.
No, not yet.
But those three
are
legal, right?
Right. Recreational. Uh-huh.
So I just tell you, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's not going to like go anywhere. I know that not everybody.
Right. It's not a fad.
Invested. It's also not, I mean, just like alcohol or anything else. It's nothing you need to be doing all the time. And I hope you're not like going to your job with that or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Everything
I mean,
in moderation. Yes.
True, you know, there's a time and a place, but I'll tell you one thing, man, if I was watching that and I was the governor of Michigan or Illinois and Ohio, and he's like, yeah, I'm for just some, maybe some medicine stuff and not the other, I just stand up and clap. Thank you so much.
That's
for
right.
Your person in your state that keeps driving over the borders and buying it from my state, and I
That's
tax
right.
them, and they come back to your place and just, you know, eat it or smoke it. So thanks.
Right.
Those people are loving it. Thanks a lot for keeping us in the dark ages. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Well done. Because what I told people was, if you, just like these other states have done, once you do that, and you kind of have it legalized, but it's taxed by the state, and the state takes that money and then put it for roads or schools or whatever. That's checkmate. Because to undo that, you would have to find some sort of revenue source that could take that over to get rid of it again.
And good luck with that.
And good luck with that. And I think the other states, I mean, they do really well. And again, people, people are always driving over the border to get that stuff and coming back. So I guess they'll just get tax revenue.
Another positive, I think, is you would alleviate a lot of pressure on the jails, man. We don't need to be jailing people for weed.
Probably not.
You know? So I think that could work really well for at least those two reasons, of course.
And, you know, we, on my show, like a few months ago, you know, we did a thing and we were talking about a study about marijuana and like cigarette smoking and how people say that, well, you know, marijuana smoke is better than cigarette smoke, whatever. And the study like did not find that at all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's still like not really good for you, you know, prolonged over, you know, constantly you get a little psychosis. There's, you know, there's problems with it.
Right.
So just like you said, everything in moderation and
I wanted to speak for Donald Rainwater since he wasn't allowed on the stage last night.
Okay.
When I was talking earlier this week about property taxes, his plan sounds great on paper because his plan, Bill, is to do away with property taxes.
Okay. And, very libertarian.
Yes, very libertarian. And a lot of people are like cheering and saying, hell yeah, that's my house now. I don't have to, you know, it's really my house. Now, you do away with property tax, and he wanted to put a 7% sales tax one time on the house when it sells. And that money would go to the state for replacement of the state property taxes. Now, the other thing you've got on that is, again, Bill, good luck replacing that with something, because our property taxes fund schools, police, fire, EMS, some local government things. So you can't just like do away with it.
Yeah, I think it would be very difficult, but I mean, I'm sure it's probably doable, but I do not have the degree in economics. And
nobody's figured out that formula yet.
Yeah.
And I know neither one, both Braun and McCormick, their plans to get some property tax relief is help you out with your taxes at the end of the year. So they give you like a little tax break or something there.
Sure.
So that's a little information, and maybe you're a little more educated now as you go to vote November 5th, or maybe you're more confused listening to Bill and myself. I don't know. The deadline for Hoosiers to register to vote is coming up, though. It's October 7th, okay? So if you're not registered, you got to do that by October 7th, and you can check your voter registration status online at indianavoters.in.gov.
Get out there and get registered.
Yeah. Is it a three-dog night in your house, Bill?
Well, it's across the street. They're, you know, they're up early. You know, those dogs are, you know, they're just keeping the neighborhood safe.
I was going to say, that's not the mayor also, is it? She's not?
No.
Okay. Oh, she's not out barking.
No. You know, just some good protective dogs up here. There's been several, I don't know, sketchy looking squirrels about.
Oh, they got to protect you from the squirrels. Yeah, man.
Those squirrels. Yeah.
General.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they started barking now, because we're about to wrap up the program, and they couldn't have started at a better time, really. I'm glad.
Yeah, they start howling here in like 2 minutes.
Oh, so. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad they didn't start 45 minutes ago. Right. So we're going to make a plan to get together every Friday morning, Bill. It'll be the Finally Friday edition of the KNS News and Commentary. And I appreciate your time, man. I know nothing is more valuable than time. And thank you very much for coming back on KNS this week.
Hey, thank you for having me back. And I look forward to seeing you next Friday. And is this Friday the pizza win, like right now, or is it next
Friday? No, next Friday. Yep, next week will be our week of winning.
Next week is the week of winning.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, so I'll be back with you next Friday, and we can do more Pizza Hut fun.
All right, we'll do it. I love it.
Well, have a great weekend.
You too, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, yep.
And want to thank our community-minded partners here at the KNS Radio Network, too. We've got Marchand's Window Tinting, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, ProByte Computers, Gym City Junction in Frankfort, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Wampler Services Incorporated, The Oasis Frankfort, and Heather's Flowers. We've got the 90s at 9 coming up next here at KNS. Have a great weekend. I'll see you back here Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Sickness with the best hits of the 70s and 80s. Have a great weekend. I'm Kevin Keith for the KNS Radio Network.